This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
All right, I guess we turn the radio station over to the guys from Dirty Honey. It's now Dirty Honey Radio. Welcome to WAF, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Hey. I love that.
Nice to meet you guys. Now, you're an L.A. band, but there's East Coast ties to the band.
There is. Half the band is East Coast. Half the band is West Coast.
So how
yeah,
did,
actually.
And you're the masshole in the band, right?
That's true.
All right, so how did this happen that you end up in L.A. in a band called Dirty Honey back on the air at WAF in Boston?
Oh, man. Long nights in Shanghai. Bet's gone awry.
Where are you from?
I was born in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Nice.
Yep. And then I moved to Maine when I was like 10.
And how long were you there?
I was there for, you know, junior high, high school, college. Then I moved to California.
Why did you go to California from Maine? You just hate the cold? The dream?
Yeah. This.
This.
To find this. Yeah.
To this find is, his way back
everyone's
to Boston.
Asked, yeah, everyone's right. asked, and I'm like, this is it. This is why
it.
We went. Yeah.
And you guys are headed back to Maine right now, right? Aren't
yeah,
you going to play a show?
Yeah, we're going to play Impact Festival.
And then you're headed to Canada.
Yep.
And then people that are wondering where they can come and see you live, you are going to be at the Palladium with yep. Alter Bridge and Skillet coming up in October.
Yes.
And the details on that show are up on the concert page, WAF.com. They're not going to want to miss you. I heard the sound check. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. It'll be louder at that show.
Yeah, I would assume sure. so. We don't want to scare the neighbors
here in the
WAF studio. Yeah. We don't want to scare.
Do we?
Well, maybe.
Yeah, who are the neighbors?
Yeah, Magic next door. I don't know if we want to go scaring them. And then you're from upstate New York, right?
Yeah, I'm from Schenectady, New York. Played hockey over here in New England like my whole childhood growing up, so. Tuning in to all the radio stations.
So this is kind of a welcome home in a way for you.
Yeah, the Northeast is really anywhere in the Northeast. They all kind of feel like home, so long as you're not in any one of the major cities with like a specific identity.
So when you talk about you being a hockey fan, you're in Boston, so I got to ask, is the Bruins your team? Who's your team?
My team is the Penguins.
Oh.
Big Penguins fan. Big Char guy, though. Yeah, you know, I was really pulling for Joe Thornton this last
yeah,
run here.
Yeah, we
he
love him here.
Done, but, yeah, I'm just a big fan of the league, and John's a big Celtics guy and Sox yep. guy. And
so you're waving the banner for the mass wholeness in Dirty Honey, even though you've been transplanted to the West Coast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, many times. Yeah.
Does it still register in your brain that the ocean's on the wrong side when you live in California? Does that still screw with you? Because when I go out there to visit, it still weirds me
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's still weird to be like going further away is east.
Right, that's what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, exactly. Just that. Not so much where the ocean is. I've acclimated to that. It's more just like you know, my whole life was like out west is a long drive.
Right.
It's a very short drive now. And a much longer boat ride,
right.
swim.
Exactly. Now, what about you guys? Where are you from? Are you from L.A.?
I'm from Portland, Oregon, originally. I've been in L.A. for like 10 years, so.
And Portland is one of the places that has the legal weed. I know that California does because you asked us about that because now you're in Mass. We have legal weed.
Woo! Yeah,
Portland definitely does. That's more Justin's department, though.
Yeah, I'm the weed guy.
You're
I'm from Van Nuys, California, so I kind of just grew up with everybody smoking it on the street all the
time. Well, it's one of the things we tell all the bands when they come in now. We're like, hey, welcome to Boston. Weed's legal, just so you know. We just want to get it out in the open, so if you got any on you, it's totally fine.
I think Justin has some on him.
No, I actually, we did a thing, a radio thing in New York, and I left it at the radio station.
Oh!
So that's why I was asking. I was like,
somebody got hooked
is
up.
Is it legal in Canada right now, too? I think
yes,
it is.
Yes, recreationally.
It is, but
yeah, but I don't know about getting across
yeah,
the border
cross
with
the border
it.
That'd be sketchy.
Seems still iffy.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Shue is here. He's hanging around because he wanted to see you guys. If you want to leave any weed behind, he would be more than happy to take it from you.
I was kind of more hoping you would leave some in my guitar bag.
Yeah. There was a misunderstanding here.
Yeah.
So for anybody that doesn't know who Dirty Honey is, you guys are kind of an enigma right now because you are a band that is breaking nationally that doesn't have a record label.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
How is that happening?
I would hope good music and hard work and a lot of touring and just people with a thirst for rock and roll again, I think, is the biggest thing. I think the EDM sort of hip-hop thing is really popping right now, and I think there's a lot of people that are feeling a certain way, like they've been neglected creatively and their taste has been neglected, and rock and roll is just something that people are starved for, so... We're doing our best job to give people the sexy soulfulness that's been lacking in this genre for the last two decades.
Well, this conversation comes up a lot with the bands that have been coming up, is that you can really feel the pendulum shift with rock and roll. Is that for a while it just was, I guess we weren't cool. I didn't get the memo, but I guess we weren't cool for a while.
As far as what we do and what I've always listened to, I think it's just a shift back to it for the live show being totally live.
Right.
And then, but also, because I know a lot of metal bands are, like, they actually play, but, so that's not necessarily unique, but also just the tone of it is fun. I think rock got harder, darker, metalier, and it's generally
more perfect,
dark.
Too.
Yeah, it's darker. I'm not saying bad, just like, you know, the tone of it. I feel like we're fun, exciting.
Well, it harkens back because there's a certain amount of familiarity. Like the 80s rock and roll girl in my soul, when I heard you guys the first time, it was like, wait a minute, there's a lot of great, fun rock and roll that came out in that, you know, late 70s, 80s era where I think people are discovering that, wait a minute, you can have fun with music and
that's
kind
of the
like
point.
We've had some great parties back then.
Yeah. Who partied harder than the rock stars in the 70s? Like,
yeah, let's go.
Anybody.
Yeah, or I mean, if you saw, you know, The Dirt, Motley Crue, probably then harder than almost anybody else.
I read that too.
Yeah, we have to give the book its due.
Yeah, we gotta give the book its due.
The movies are never as good as the book.
No, the Queen movie was fantastic, though.
Yeah, did you like that? Did you? I thought Rami Malek did a fantastic job.
Fantastic for sure.
All right, well, anybody that doesn't know who you are, I want to have you guys play the single because if they heard the sound check that you guys just did in here, they're going to be blown away. I'm really excited for everybody to hear you guys play.
Let's go, Boston.
Yeah, let's do this. So this is Dirty Honey live in the WAF studio.
Let's go.
I told you. Oh, my God. Dirty Honey.
Thank you.
Live here in the WAF studio, the text line at 97107. These guys rock. These guys are unbelievable. No studio magic for them. That sounded awesome. Total Tesla Black Crowes vibe. Holy crap from the 603. So there you go.
Love that.
So it's the 603.
It's
see the
rap line.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's write some songs.
Yes, the mass hole knows the 603. It's our neighbors to the north up there. You guys got to drive through later, so
yeah, we will.
Be careful with the New Hampshire people. They can get a little weird up
easy
there.
Now. My sister lives in New Hampshire. She's probably listening right now.
Is she really?
I think she is.
Well, you can listen anywhere with the radio.com app, and then you can go to WAF.com. You can take us anywhere. So if you're chiming in and you're listening from outside of New England, they could take you anywhere or us. Chime in on the text line at 97107. So I got to ask you, somebody says, holy ass, dude's got some pipes. So I'm pointing at the screen over here.
Holy ass.
Yeah.
I thought you were pointing at Justin.
No, I'm pointing at the screen that's in front of me. It's right here. Are you sure you didn't hit the legal dispensaries before you got here? So I want to ask you about your voice, because when the guys came in, we were like, aren't you missing a member? And they're like, yeah, he's out in the parking lot warming up his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Rod Stewart, a buddy's uncle runs like a great studio in L.A., and Rod Stewart was whose son I actually play hockey with in L.A.
Really?
Great kid. He's like a pro. He's a really good kid. But yeah, he was at a studio in Studio B warming up his voice one day, and I just sort of made a mental note, and I was like, if that's what he's doing, and he's sounds fantastic.
Still at 1,000 years old, yeah.
I'm like, I should probably be doing that too. So it's an important part of my regimen, but it takes like 15 minutes. And Miles Kennedy, who we're on tour with, you know, he does it too. And Talked to him quite a bit about it.
But it seems to be a thing with a lot of the rock singers nowadays is that they're way more concerned with taking care of their voice because they want longevity of career.
Without a doubt.
So you see a guy like Dave Draymond or Brent Smith from Shinedown or Johnny from Nothing More was in here doing all these weird. So what do you do to warm up your voice? I want to know what it sounds like.
It's just like a lot of tongue trills and lip rolls.
Like sounds very dirty.
I can't show you how the chicken.
No, no, you got it. Yeah, do it. Do it. I want to know.
It's a great move, you know, when you see babes, too. That's always nice.
Hey, lady, look what I can do. I wanted to ask you about that song, too. I have a theory. Yeah. I want to know if you subscribe to it. Rock and roll wouldn't exist if women weren't bitches. Am I right or wrong?
See, you're on a different wavelength than I am with the lyrical content, it sounds like.
Well, I just want to know if that's... I just feel like all the great rock and roll has been inspired in some way by the guy getting his heart broken or the woman playing hard to get.
One of our
or
next tunes is called Heartbreaker.
See, there, thank you very much.
Let's just, there we go.
It's almost like I've been on the radio for 21 years trying to figure it out.
How did you know?
I'm a genius.
This might be the greatest, like, flowing interview of all time.
I'm recording that because I'm going to replay that for my boss when it's time to ask for a raise.
Yeah, for contract extension.
So this is another song off of your 5-song EP,
yeah.
Which for people just tuning in, we're here with Dirty Honey in the studio, and we were talking about it a few minutes ago. You guys are out there breaking as a rock band without a record label.
Yeah.
And you've done it by releasing this 5-song EP, which is fantastic.
Trust us, it wasn't by choice. It was just more of a state of the rock and roll environment right now.
Sticking it to the man.
I mean, no, but that's what's great about it is that it's so rock and roll that you guys are...
It's the most rock and roll
thing we
could do,
exactly.
It's awesome.
Exactly.
As our manager says, who ran labels for a long time, he just says, I ran labels for 30 years, and who knows how to run a record label better than me?
There you go.
We are on our own independent Dirt Records, thanks to him, and he's doing a great job.
Pretty good dude.
We're very grateful.
That's why we got to get people download, go buy the EP, support these guys, because they are doing it all themselves, and it's an amazing rock and roll story.
Thank you.
All right, I want you guys to play another song.
All right, this one's called Heartbreaker, thanks to the great segue.
You're welcome. That is Dirty Honey live in the WAAF studio. From L.A., but half the band we're going to claim as, you know, as kind of assholes. But now you guys, we're going to claim you as a Boston band. The text line is going crazy right now. Text to 97107. Somebody says a long way from the air mattress. What does that mean exactly? Is there an air mattress story that one of your friends is diming you out on the text line?
Oh, yes, there is.
Really? Yeah. I want to know the story with that one.
Yeah, the first guy that I ever lived in L.A. with now lives in Boston. And I lived on an air mattress for like 6 months before graduating to my car. 9 years.
Well, I think your former roommate just dimed you out. Somebody else texted in, wow, I'm in Los Angeles and I really literally just stopped working to listen to them. I'm sitting at my desk and enjoyed them so much. Somebody else said, I'm so glad I'm listening to you today. These guys rock. Thank you so much. You should be listening every day because you never know what you're going to miss. You could have missed Dirty Honey if you didn't put the radio on today.
See?
Yeah, they need to just listen all the time.
All the time, 24/7.
I want to, when you guys are in town in October, I want to have you and Miles Kennedy do a scream off. I want to know who's got the higher octave. Do you know?
Ooh.
Does he does? The band's going, he does. Because they did some science on Axl Rose's voice, and they said that out of all the singers, even Freddie Mercury, that Axl scientifically was able to hit more notes and more octaves.
He has like the biggest recorded range of all time, like even like Mariah Carey, I read.
Wait, he does or Axl?
Axl's
would be probably because of his low end. He can't go higher than Mariah Carey.
No,
but he could. But he's got he recorded some seriously low vocals.
Yeah, and then just to be able to hit those screeching. Yeah,
Mariah's got like almost dog whistle.
Yeah, you can't have testicles and hit some of those notes.
Someday where she's up there, that ain't no way.
Yeah, and can she even hit those notes anymore? Like it's.
I don't even think she can hit the middle ones anymore.
Yeah, it's.
It really is.
Don't worry, she's not listening. It's okay. And if she is, Mariah, come up and prove us wrong.
All right, guys, double down. You know, but we thank her for her contribution.
Is a great singer for sure, and a great guy, and
he's one of those guys that nobody in music has a bad word to say about. Like,
for sure, even out of music.
Yeah,
like I met his brother-in-law the other night, who like loves him, which is I feel like that's sort of rare. That's like a 50-50.
Oh yeah. He came to the show. Yeah,
he was awesome. He was a big Dirty Honey fan too. But yeah, Miles has been super nice to us and very gracious, and he performs so well, like every night. Like, he never sings a bad note, which is somebody in that register is really rare.
Yeah, and he's another one of those guys that really takes care of his voice for longevity of career, because he's been doing it a long time.
He's an amazing guitar player too.
Is he really?
He heard him, and then he heard him in the dressing room and was like, "Dude, did you hear Miles?" And
shredding.
I was like, "No." And then I went over to the other guys in the band, and I was like, "So I just heard Miles is ridiculous." And I didn't even finish my sentence. They were like, "No, unbelievable."
It's kind of hard when you're in a band with Mark Tremonti to stand out as a guitar player, because Mark is such a fantastic guitar player.
And Slash, arguably like the greatest rock star of all time.
Yeah, seriously. It's kind of hard to be like, "Oh, wait, no, I'm a singer, but I play guitar too." It's like, yeah, that's nice. You're on stage with Slash.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
But he really is good. Like,
really amazing.
Yeah. So with the tour, because we're talking about Alter Bridge, you guys are playing at the Palladium October 3rd with Alter Bridge and Skillet.
Yep.
So as an unsigned band, like how does that call go when they go, "Oh, hey, by the way, Alter Bridge wants to take you out on the road"? Like, how does...
We're like, maybe, I don't know.
yeah. We're like, what was the... No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think, you know, they obviously approve everybody that they take out, and same with Slash, and same with, you know, Red Sun Rising, and we've obviously been out with Slash and Miles is in Alter Bridge too, and I think it's been a pretty good fit, and thanks to you guys and the radio stations around the country, we're getting some traction, so we're, you know, on a couple people's radar.
And we're doing it. It's in a weird way, organically. Like, we met the Red Sun Rising guys at a festival. The first gig we ever did, really, was Aftershock. And up in Sacramento.
Yeah.
So we met, they were like, "You guys are awesome. Do you want to go on tour?" And we didn't really iron it out then. We just kind of said, "Yeah, sure." And then yes, and then let's talk about it. And that worked out. And then we did Slash dates, and they loved us. So I think that opened the door to Miles.
And we have
really
the same agent as Alter Bridge.
Yeah, which that doesn't hurt either. Yeah.
That's not the fun part of the story.
Is Guns N' Roses one? I want to talk to you guys about your influences and what got
favorite
you picking up your instruments in the first place. So, Guns for you, favorite band ever?
Yes.
Yeah, Justin,
yes,
for sure.
John and I, we rode to rehearsal together when we found out we were doing those first Slash dates, and like driving home, we were like freaking out.
Yeah, definitely.
And Slash is one of those guys that couldn't be nicer.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Like, sometimes it's like you look at him and you're like, "Dude, you know you're Slash, right?" Like, you're just, he's so mellow and so...
He's very chill, very, keeps to himself a lot, and very nice, though. And, you know, another guy who, like, you can't believe, like, you're going to share the stage with this guy who's so passionate still about performing for, whether it's 2,000 people or, you know, 50,000. Like, he's getting pumped up for every show. Like, it's pretty... refreshing to see.
And it's funny to watch him, like, hair in a ponytail, like jeans on, whatever, and you're just like, "Oh, it's just some guy." And then he takes his hair out of the ponytail, puts a top hat on, and like
a ponytail.
But then he becomes like, as soon as he puts the hat on, it's like a magic crown or something. And then he's like, "Oh my god,
yeah,
that's Slash."
Yeah, first gig we played with him, we were side stage, and we get to hear the amp, like, it's like right close to us, you know, and then we go back out into the audience, and we're, you know, from the back of the room, we're like, he's still Slash. It's still the same.
Yeah.
There he is with Les Paul with the hat. We're just like, he's like got that image forever.
Well, and as a guitar player, you can speak more intelligently about it, is that there's just a tone to his playing.
Oh,
you hear one note, and you know exactly that it's Slash.
That's what you want as an artist, you know?
That means you're an artist with it, I think. And we live in L.A., you know, we know a lot of musicians, and there's a lot of ripping guitar players in Los Angeles. Just, you know, but
they
don't
an
all
identity.
Stand out necessarily. A lot of times because they have to play for other people, so standing out would be not good for them. So what happens, so then finding that person who has a very identifiable tone.
Yeah, like you
hear
Gary Clark Jr. and you go, "Oh, that's
Gary
Clark
Jr.
Yeah.
Without Brian a doubt. May, that's Brian May. You hear,
right.
You know.
I like Robbie
Trucks.
Krieger.
Robbie Krieger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of it's the song, too. That's why I like this situation for me as a guitar player. It's like we're writing songs that you've never heard before, so that's an automatic opening to do something a little more unique.
Right.
Help yourself stand out rather than playing someone else's music or, you know.
It's interesting what you were saying, too, about influences like Guns. We all love Guns. That's not my favorite band, but it's when you look back at, like, their history, who they were compared to, you know, their predecessors, and now, like, Guns N' Roses is such an identifiable sound in history that it seems like it always was just Guns N' Roses. They were compared to Aerosmith and God.
Well, at first they scared the hell out of a lot of people. Duff was in town last month and he told me something. We were talking about this off air. Next year is WAF's 50th anniversary. And I've only been on the air for 21 years. So
only
21 years. But last month I went and sat down with Duff. And as soon as I walked in the room, before we could even get the camera set up, he was like, oh, WAF, do you know you guys were the first people to play Guns N' Roses in the United States? No. And I didn't even know that because I was in high school at the time. But I was like, hold on a second. So we set the cameras up and I was like, tell me the story. And he said that they were out on tour with the Cult. There was one guy in Canada at the time that heard Guns N' Roses at the show and played Welcome to the Jungle. And then WAAF was the first station to play Welcome to the Jungle in the United States.
That's awesome.
And he was like, then we showed up in Boston and people actually knew who we were.
That's cool.
And I was like, are you sure that's right? And I'm, you know, if anybody's going to know, it's Duff. And he was like, yes, that's right.
You don't forget things like that.
Yeah. And I didn't even know that about my own radio station, which is cool.
Yeah. We had an interesting situation. Like, we released our music and, you know, the station in LA, got a hold of it organically off of a Spotify playlist, and like, just, we didn't even know they were gonna play it. We had no clue.
Which is the new version of "We found your demo in a bin in the office."
Their producer of the morning show like found it. It was like getting played on the air in LA, like 8 hours after it got released, and like we're getting phone calls and
tweets. That's what I was gonna ask. Who called you? How did you find out?
Well, a buddy tweeted, like a friend that I play hockey with actually tweeted, and he's like, "I'm gonna tweet about you. Like, check it out." So I was on Twitter for the first time in like a year, and the station LA is tweeting, call us, we're going to play you right now. And we're like, what the hell is going on? We're on our way to like, Lawrence, Kansas, we were going to, and we were in the middle of nowhere, and like the biggest station in LA is like playing our song and talking about us for like 30 minutes. It was surreal for sure.
Yeah, it was like the station I grew up listening to rock and like learned about rock on, so it was a huge moment.
That's
so
very cool.
I'm sure Duff knows what he's talking about.
I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does. I'm not going to tell Duff he's wrong. Yeah, at all. Well, everybody on the text line is begging for another song. Will you guys play another song?
For sure.
I think Boston will like this next one a lot.
Okay, I don't have a magical segue for this one, so you're going to have to tell me what it is.
It's this one's called Rolling Sevens. It's just, this one's really everything that we're about. It's just got that sexy, soulful, like fun rock and roll vibe, and live it's another level, but we'll do our best.
All right,
there's definitely some good influences in this one that I think you'll enjoy.
This is Dirty Honey live in the WAAF studio. I think I speak for everybody listening. That was fantastic. Dirty Honey, live acoustic here in the WAF studio. And I want to make sure that I say this because all of you guys are here. A lot of the times when bands come up to play acoustic, it'll be the singer and the guitar player, and we never get to meet the whole band. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that our introduction to Dirty Honey was the whole band. So thank you guys all for coming and hanging out with us today, because
thanks for having us.
I think that if my prediction and my gut is right, that people are going to know your name. You guys are going to be one of those bands.
Especially in
this
town.
It's only a matter of time.
It's a good rock and roll
town. Yeah.
Aerosmith is my favorite band. Always has been growing up. And like, I've always just heard the Bad Boys from Boston.
That apartment's literally like a half a mile away. There's a brass plaque on it.
That would have been so cool.
It was very fun. Where they showed up in the duck boats and they did the big concert outside.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was very cool. So Boston's one of those places, too, where we get our hooks into you. I mean, we're like herpes. Like, you never can get rid of us.
Still exists?
No, Mamakin is now part of the House of Blues.
Oh, okay.
So when they did all of that construction down on Lansdowne Street, there was clubs like Axis and Avalon.
Yeah.
Then Mamakin opened, and they had the small little 100-space performance room, and then they had the bigger room.
Yeah.
AAF had some legendary shows down there.
Cool.
And then they closed it, and they tore a lot of it down and made it into the House of Blues, which is a great place to go and see
for sure.
a show. The original House of Blues was in Cambridge. It was actually a blue house.
Got it.
And they just couldn't get enough people in there to be able to bring in the big name artists that they wanted. So they sold the blue house. It's still in Harvard Square in Cambridge. It's just not a venue anymore. And they opened up the House of Blues on Lansdowne Street, which has great, you know, sight lines. The acoustics are really good. So the bands always sound really good in there.
Yeah. We played at the House of Blues in LA quite a bit. And yeah, it's a super pro venue.
Yeah, they want to be artist friendly because they want you guys to go in there and sound really good, and they want people to be able to see. I was there last night when I Prevail was in town, and it's cool. Like they just sounded great in there, and there's a lot of awesome shows coming through. So, and the same thing with the Palladium in Worcester. It's one of those old theaters that just has this great vibe to it, and it just sounds awesome. And you guys will be there October 3rd with Alter Bridge and Skillet. Tickets are on sale now. Details are up on the concert page at WAF.com. But in all seriousness, before I let you guys go, this is the WAF audience introduction to Dirty Honey. I know by the time you guys come back in October that everybody else around the country that isn't on the Dirty Honey train yet will be. And I'm just happy that, you know, you're one of those bands that we can always say, like, you know, we were there from the beginning, because I think there's a lot of great things ahead for you guys.
Yeah,
you're welcome back anytime.
Awesome.
You're welcome back anytime, but definitely in October, and we're doing the sing-off.
Oh, with Miles?
I want to see you and Miles go at it note for note and see who can handle it.
Like, he can probably set that up.
And I want to see the vocal warm-ups, too.
Yeah, we'll both do them simultaneously and drive everybody insane. Yeah.
Vocal warm-up off.
Yeah, vocal warm-up off, exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. If you missed the whole thing, we'll get the performance videos up at WAF.com. We'll get all of the interview stuff up there. But seriously, before you guys go, you are an independent band with a 5-song EP out. So if you liked what you heard on the air today, go and buy their EP and support a band that is doing rock and roll, old school rock and roll way.
We appreciate it. And if you want to be really cool, get a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Because they're awesome.
You have girl shirts, right?
We do.
Of course, because the music is all inspired by us, right?
I love garb, so I'm a big merch guy.
All right. Well, there you go. So go and pick up the shirts. You'll be able to get them online, right? You have an online store, and then you can get them at the Palladium in October.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Truly a pleasure.
And thanks to Mark and everybody that we know is listening on the website, too.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.